Our scripture today reveals a story that has been passed down through the ages. Many of us remember the earliest accounts of this passage described simply as the widow's mite. The widow's mite, M-I-T-E, meaning in the King James translation of Scripture, where we heard it, many of us, for the first time, where it spoke of the widow casting all she had, two mites, two small copper coins, into the treasury, giving all she had. A great call for many of us and through the ages of the church of what it means to live outside of self, to have the courage to give even when there isn't much to give. As Jesus reflected upon her action, he saw that as a great teaching moment, an opportunity to share with his disciples what it means to practice our faith. You see, I think that's often what we fail to notice in the actions of the widow. Yes, it was a great gift. Yes, it was a great act of service. Certainly, she lived outside of herself and she gave. But also before she gave, there was something that inspired her to give. And friends, I'm convinced more than anything else, it began not in her courage to give, but in her willingness to live as a person of faith. It wasn't so much the size of what she did externally that impacts the story of this passage, but it was what was within her internally. It began not on the outside, but it started on the inside. Imagine with me, if you could, this widow who, as we know even in our culture, in the times of modern day challenges, that those face who've lost their loved one, whether they be men or women, their challenges, there's emptiness, there's brokenness when one loses their life's partners. There is emotional turmoil, emptiness that can't be replaced even by time. And certainly with that there are certain financial challenges. But in the first century world, it was even more perplexing. There was no government assistance. There was no social security. The widow of the first century world, not only as we find ourselves with this one with very little, we can suspect that she may not have even had children to support her. And for a person of that world, if they had no children, they were also seen as one who was out of God's favor. God must have been punishing them for their lack of faithfulness, for an unwillingness to live the holy lifestyle and to walk in the ways of the Lord. So not only, if that was the case, was this widow facing financial challenges, but she was also likely ostracized by her community, seen as an outcast. We know those folks. We don't use those language so much today, but they're the people that we never would invite to church. They probably wouldn't come. And if they did come, would we want people knowing that they were in our circle? Those that we just don't run in the same midst with. Those that we don't want to be seen with or recognized with. That was much of what the widow faced as she walked into the outer courts of the temple that day. One who would be easily overlooked. But Jesus saw her. Wow. Now, friends, isn't that the power of our Lord and of our faith? Can we grasp the magnitude of that? That the person that the world so easily overlooks as an outcast, as a lost cause, as one who has no hope, that's the one who Jesus Christ pours His energy and strength to most of all. Aren't we all that one at some point on our journey? Aren't we all the one who has no confidence? The one who's been broken down, beaten down, who sees that our life has nothing to contribute to the world as well? That's when Jesus comes to the widow in us all and sees our efforts and transforms them like those two small copper coins into something holy. See, what I see happening in the widow's day, more than what she gave externally, was what she possessed internally. The widow's might, in my mind, the might of the widow, more than anything else, was the faith of the widow. You see, I'm convinced that's what set her free. That's what empowered her to live outside of self, to give everything she had, because she had a faith that God would sustain her. In other words, she had not put her hope in her stuff, in her things, in the social views of her by those around her. Those were not her God. That's not the idols she served, her wealth, her place in the culture. No, she drew her joy and peace in life by trusting in the Lord. Isn't that what faith is? When we break it all down to the bare bones and roots, it's putting trust in God instead of man. Trusting the Lord in rather than humanity. Asking God to be the Lord of our life, not our jobs, not our families, not our occupations, not our success, not our ball teams, not our band. But asking God to be the one who determines and distinguishes us and sustains us to the true measure of joy. Because you see, when we base the Lord of our life on these things, on our jobs, on our wealth, on our position, they will all ultimately, eventually fail us. But you see, friends, we have an infallible God. You know, I like that word. When we speak of Scripture being infallible, it means it will not fail us. It can't fall. That's the ministry of our Lord into our life. That was what inspired the widow on this day to give and live outside of herself, because she trusted in the Lord. Perhaps that's all she had to trust in, right? She had no family. She had no funds. She had no place in the church or in the culture. But she had the Lord. And it was enough. It was the beginning and the end of her peace and joy in life. You know, we're going to wrestle and hear those words in the sanctuary. Those words that this widow displayed great faith, that she gave of what she had, that she trusted in the Lord. And oftentimes, it's good for us to hear these words in church, in worship, but then we wrestle with the question, but can it really work out there in the world? Can we give and live outside of self? Can we trust the Lord in our business? Can we trust the Lord in the classroom? Can we have faith that God can restore our marriage? Can we trust the Lord with our finances? This past week we studied the book of Joshua on our Wednesday night Bible study. And Joshua was a man who very much wrestled with those questions that we're wrestling with today. What all can we trust God with? Can we trust Him with our profession? When we've been trained, when we have schooling, when we have the skill to face the challenges of the world. Those questions must have been raised for Joshua as he had prepared his army. They were ready to go into Jericho, Scripture tells us. He was a warrior. And as we commemorated Veterans Day this morning and remembered the service of those who sacrificed so much for our country, you who serve understand. When you have a plan, when you have a skilled leader, a tactician who's practiced, who planned, who implemented their strategy, then ultimately they want to follow that course of action, right? It happens in military. It happens in school bands. We practice and we perform. We follow our leader. It happens with ball teams. It happens in the courtrooms. It happens at the hospital, in the surgery center. We want to trust our training. We want to follow the advice we've been given. And so it was as Joshua was prepared to cross into the promised land with the people of Israel. He was ready to take them on. He was ready to trust his challenges. And he was ready to implement his plans and his preparation. He was ready, friends, to attack. And though I'm sure he had a long list of objectives and how he was going to implement them, but God said, we're not going to do it that way, Joshua. We're going to do it my way. And you know the thing that set Joshua apart? To be the leader of the people, Israel? It wasn't his skill as a military leader. It wasn't his great oratory performances by being able to talk pretty. No, the thing that set Joshua apart is that he did this, church. He listened to the Lord. And God said, Joshua, go my way. Joshua, trust in me to do what you cannot. Joshua, trust in me beyond your training. Trust in me with your military. Trust in me with your finances. Trust in me with your marriage. Trust in me, church, with your life. It was when Joshua had the faith to say, not my will, Lord, but thine be done, that God transformed him and the people of Israel into deliverance. See, his faith was not unlike the widow in our New Testament passage this morning. The widow found herself at her wit's end. She had nothing else to turn to. She had exhausted her resources, but even then, and when the ultimate sacrifice was before her, she trusted in the Lord. You know, as I hear that story of the widow and Joshua this morning, I also am convinced that there's another connection between trusting in God, having faith in the Lord, and giving of ourselves. Remember that we spoke of earlier that this passage began? It highlighted how the widow gave everything she had, but before she gave, before she lived externally, what? She had something internally. To be able to give, she first had to have faith, right? It comes first with God's grace, our faith, and then we can give. Then we can act. Then we can practice our faith in the Lord. But you see, there's another connection with faith and giving. There's an outcome. There's a reward. There's a blessing from God. What is it? To reflect upon the blessing of giving and having faith, I've got to tell us one more story. As we mentioned our announcements this morning, we'll begin our Coats for Kids ministry on the campus of our church this week. The Ripley Rotary Coats for Kids that's gone on for years. We hope to close some 1,800 kids over the next few weeks. Wow. That ministry began a long time ago. And the resources have come in. The costs have been covered. But we still need people to serve. So we're recruiting, we're seeking, we're asking people to give of themselves, to have faith, trust the Lord, and to serve those around them. Just a few weeks ago, Dr. Howell, who implemented this ministry and has been such a driver in it, he came to unload some coats here at the church. And I showed up at just the wrong time. You know, preachers hate it when that happens. I showed up right when there was work to do. He started unloading those coats, and, well, I was shamed into it. He didn't shame me, but I was shamed into it. I started helping him. And we made several trips up and down those steps over there into the old sanctuary. And you know, we were just about finished, and Doc was breathing hard. And I was breathing hard, and we were both sweating. And you know, I think Doc was about to lose it mentally. You know why? He had the nerve in the midst of all of that exertion, of all that painstaking work, he had this big smile erupt on his face. And he said these words to me. I'll never forget it. Isn't this fun? Fun? What are you talking about, Doc? We're working. We're doing. We're giving of our time. How can this be fun? Oh, but how right he was. Isn't that what happens? We think we're giving. We think we're serving. We gather every bit of courage and faith we have in the Lord with the hope of the widow to live outside of ourselves, to give to our community, to proclaim the gospel, to trust in the Lord with our lives. We think we're giving like the Ripley Rotary and Ripley Presbyterian Church Ministry of Coats for Kids. And we look up and we find the warmth in our heart. And like Norris Howe, a smile erupts on our face and we say, isn't this fun? When we trust our life with God, give of what we have to change the world and share in His glory, in joy, for all to see. Amen. Let's respond now in faith as we remember what it is that we believe about our God, as we share in